You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Great to have you here. So I've just arrived back from Melbourne, where it was really nice to connect with some real salon owners in real life, which was really nice. We spent 3 days together at the Secret Salon Society Summit. A lot of S's going on there. But, you know, it was great to connect with my coaches, Sam and Louise, and spend some quality time in real life. And it was really nice to connect with a lot of our community, with the Salon Owners Collective and Salon Bot. So a huge shout out to Lee and Prue and Cass from Salon Bot, who were there at the conference. And I wanted to say hey to Joyce, who is a Salon Owners Collective hub and coaching member. We had the best night ever. Now, Joyce, I know that you are driving to work as you listen to this podcast. You're an avid podcast listener. And I want to give a shout out to you. I had the best night ever over a glass of wine and listening to your awesome Irish accent. And we just had a giggle about real life in the salon. And I really appreciated connecting with you. And I do want to give a shout out to Christy McKenzie, who is the founder of the Secret Salon Society. Her absolute sweet spot, or her zone of genius, is putting on in real life events. And she does that around Australia several times a year. And hopefully one day she'll come to New Zealand. But she does fly all around the world, New York. And I know that she's looking at LA or London next time. I highly recommend those events because there's nothing like being stuck in a room with like-minded people who are going through the same challenges. But I have to say, the thing that stood out to me the most was the realness of the people in that room. Sometimes you can go to a hair and beauty event and people are a little bit clicky or people don't want to get along with each other, but these are just real life people happy to open up and connect and learn from each other. And it was an amazing environment and we did lots of fun, crazy stuff. We got out of the room and a few wines to be had in the evening as well. So huge shout out to you, Christy, because you do an amazing job. So head over to the Secret Salon Society closed Facebook group. It's a fantastic place to hang out and check out all her upcoming events. Anywho, I was there to speak around the topic of fear and leadership. Christy asked me to come and do a full morning presentation. And then we had a hot seat round table in the afternoon. It was an amazing event. But the topic of fear and leadership and the fear that we hold around leading the humans inside of our business, you know, it's a challenging one. It's one of the things that keeps us up and awake at night the most, the humans inside of our business. And that's not just the clients. I'm talking about the team. Now, for me, I wasn't born a leader. I don't think anybody is. I may have been born an entrepreneur. I think that probably is in the blood. Yes, maybe. But I certainly didn't have the skills to manage people. It's one of those things that I had to learn, and often the hard way. After many heartaches and much investment into courses and leadership programs, because again, you don't wake up and know this stuff. I certainly came out the other end with an amazing team of 30 women, all women, who worked together like clockwork. I do feel like that is a huge mountain that I managed to conquer for sure, and made some amazing relationships and friendships with the people that I worked with. So I really want to dedicate this episode to share that with you on the topic of not only leadership, but finding, growing and maintaining a rockstar team. Because it's something that I know that we're all challenged with as salon owners. So recently, my Salon Owners Collective coaches, Sam, Louise and I got together to cover this topic. And we did a live session, we call it the Collective Lunch, where we did a live Q&A session discussing the topic of attracting, growing and maintaining a rockstar team. So I thought it was topical to share this event, this episode with you, that we did live recently. Now, we run our collective lunch events once a month on our Salon Owners Collective Facebook page. So I encourage you to join us. And I'll put the link in the show notes where you can get us to message you before we go live once a month, second Tuesday of the month, where we discuss topics like this that can help and support you in your salon business. So at the end of this, I'm going to share this episode with you. And at the end of this event, I want to give you a wee helpful tool that I have created. And I will share that with you at the end of my chat with Sam and Louise on growing and maintaining a rockstar team. Let's jump straight into our collective lunch. Hi, guys. Welcome to another lunch with the crazy coaches. Today we are going to be talking about finding and growing a rockstar team. So find a nook, find a good place to sit, grab some lunch, something to eat, and join us. And please type in the comments if you're here with us live, hashtag live, and if you're here on the replay, please type hashtag replay, we'd like to know. And let us know if you're having lunch, or maybe if you're watching on the replay, it might be wine or dinner o'clock. Ladies, what are you guys having for lunch today?
I'm on the coffee. Sorry, Lou. Nice cup of coffee. I'll grab some lunch after the live, I think.
I'm trying to shed some kilos. So I'm on something.
I'm fit air. Well, it is a little bit challenging to literally eat lunch while we're chatting, but we did want to talk to you guys about a topic that comes up for us in our hub community, in our coaching, with our coaching clients, and it's talked about a lot in groups, and that is finding and growing and keeping a rockstar team. And so we wanted to dive in. We would really love to encourage you to ask your questions around the topic, because we know it's a challenge. We've all been salon owners multiple times, some of us. And before we jumped on, we were talking about how many employees, like what have our teams looked like? I reckon I've employed people come and gone 120 times. So it's a lot. So you get a little bit of practice in. What about you two?
I don't know. I've never actually sat down and counted up how many I've actually hired. I have been an employer both in the UK and in Australia, so I've had a few. My last salon maximum team number, I think, was about 10 in the end, so 10 in one go. Yeah.
Well, it's a good handful. You know, that's a decent number to manage. And I remember actually at a management course that I did years ago, somebody talking about 7 is about the right number that any one person can manage on their own. Yes. So, you know, as we start to get bigger, we need more people in our team to manage the team.
Yeah.
Lou, you had 3 salons in your salon ownership time. Yes. What did your teams look like?
The last salon I had, the most I had was 9, and I had a salon manager for that. In between all the salons, I was having babies, had three children, and going through hiring apprentices and finding the right staff and getting the dynamics right, which was sometimes proved to be a little bit difficult, but yeah, it was really good.
Sure.
Once you get those dynamics right and manage different personalities, it's good.
Right, well, let's have a chat about finding new team members, because I think this is the beginning of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Is finding the right people, or finding any people. So first of all, I want to hear from you guys that have joined with us live now. I can see we've got several people live. Jump on and type in hashtag live, but actually more importantly, what is the biggest challenge that you have around finding new team members? So shall I kick it off and start with, one of the most important things is, one of the things that I see the most is, I don't think we put it out there enough that we're looking for somebody. And I see this happen time and time again, is that we post, let's just say we post once or twice,
we put an ad up on Seek or in New Zealand, it's Trade Me, and we post it on Facebook. And then a week later we think, oh, no, I can't find anybody. And so I think what I wanted to share was managing expectations of how long does it take and what does it take for people to know that you're actually advertising, because I think one post it doesn't cut it. You know, we need to put it in all the places, all the times, over and over and over again, and feel confident to do that. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's like a marketing strategy, isn't it?
It is. I was just about to say
100%.
That. It's a strategy. You know, your groups, picking your groups, when you're going to pop it into those groups, you know, really doing your research on where they're hanging out.
Yeah.
And how to attract them.
Mm. And I think, as Larissa said, managing expectations, I think so many people expect to put the ad out, find someone, and they can start the next week.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that's not really often the case, especially if it's someone with some kind of integrity, which you want in your salon, right? They're possibly working for someone already, and, you know, if they are going to come and work for you, they might have a notice period to work out and all those things too. So,
yeah.
It's not an overnight thing.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Except for you, Sam, actually.
What?
Sorry, I have to throw that in there because, you know, when we first met each other, I was coaching you with your salon, and you're probably the first person that I met that just had a steady trickle of people knocking at your door. You had a girl that broke her arm, I think, or she had an accident.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
You had her replaced, like, overnight. And I thought, how is this girl doing this? So there is a secret to the source. Is it source to the secret?
I think, like you were saying before we jumped in here, Larissa, it's all about, I hate to say it again, branding, consistency, positioning in the market. Why would someone want to come work for you? I like to think that I'd establish myself as the number one salon in the area, the place of work. You know, we had a great team, everything, and everyone knew that. So, yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it. Hey, it takes ages to get there, and when you get there, it's like clients, right? You're turning on that tap.
Yeah,
I think you're right, and I think a huge piece of that part when we say branding is the social media element, right? Realizing that everything that we do and we put out there is advertising who we are as a brand, and not just only thinking about clients when you're doing a social media, but actually who you're trying to attract. You know, what is the team up to? What are they doing and enjoying? And putting that story out there for everybody to see, and then people want to be like that. Well, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that group.
Exactly, and it's also about their perception of you as well. You know, like we all, or not we all, but a lot of businesses, when they're looking for someone, they're not thinking about, you know, even the interview process. The interview process is just as much about their expectations of you, not just your expectations of them. You know, what do you have to offer them?
Yeah.
Just as much as what do they have to offer you. So, you know.
I'm so pleased you said that, Louise, because I 100% agree. I think too often, you know, we want them to be qualified. They have to be working for 3 years. They have to have a clientele, and they have to have all the things. And actually forget that it's a – employment is a two-way street, it's a bit of a relationship, it's a bit of a marriage, right? And it takes two minds, if you will, need to come together. It's not just who are you. And I think that attitude or that thought process can come through in just the way that you write your ad copy,
Or
even the way that you present yourself on social media. If they, you know, read that and then they get a feel about your brand, and they'll know pretty quick before they even see your ad whether they want to be part of your brand or not.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So what about the actual choosing of somebody? Because, you know, if we do it right, we get a long queue of people, right? how do we choose who to hire?
Personality first.
You know, this might be a bit of a touchy thing because people might not agree with me, but I don't believe in resumes. I think we had this conversation the other day. I think they're a total waste of time, not worth the paper that they're written on. That's my opinion. You can put what you want on a piece of paper. It's, you know, who turns up, what are they looking like, how do they present themselves, how do they sound when they open their mouth, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes a lot on attitude.
I usually gauge a feeling.
Higher on skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The feeling from the resume and then that first phone call when you call them to let them know you'd like to meet them. I think that tells everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The massive thing.
There's such a shift in society now, with especially with millennials, and a lot of them don't email. A lot of them, they text. They, you know, just get down on their level for once and show up how they sort of show up. And I think that you will attract a different type of, I think that's where that shift is happening. And get them to come and meet you for a coffee. A lot of them don't like to pick up the phone. I mean, like, yes, they have to pick up the phone, but, give them a call. Tell in your ad on social media, you know, get them to send you a private message or a DM. And get them to come and have a coffee with you.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
I'm really pleased you said that.
A lot of them don't have a resume. A lot, you know.
Yeah. But also what you're saying is that we're meeting the people where they're at. We're not saying, well, like for someone like me, you know, over the hill a little bit. I'm not expecting somebody, you know, at 18 or 22 to meet me where I'm at. It's me meeting them. And I think, I think the same about the way that we manage people. We need to meet the people where they're at, because if they're comfortable and they're performing at their best and they're feeling good, do you know what? They show up for the client and they turn up for the client and they've got their best game on. It's not a battle between the employer and the employee. And, you know, just because I was stuck behind the broom for 3 years doesn't mean I need to do the same, you know?
And it doesn't mean that they're not going to meet you where you're at in your business down the track, you know, that they are moldable.
Yes.
It's just that initial point of contact and it's like a dating, you know, we talk about clients, dating clients, and, you know, getting them where you need them to be. It's the same with staff.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like it's dating sort of
thing. It is dating.
It is.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. And also it shows you you're a modern, forward-thinking person. You know, the majority of our industry is young, right? So we need to meet them.
But we had such a – we had like a 10 or 12-year, I think it was about 12-year gap of where we didn't have them coming through. So we've lost that in between. We've now got the young ones coming through, and they don't function how our ladies function. You know, they don't. They can, but it takes time. It's a process.
Yeah. Hey, so Susie says this is the perfect topic. I'm super pleased because she's holding her first interview on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't forget gut instinct. You're going to spend a lot of time with that human, so make sure you like them, right? And Kirsten also says she uses Instagram. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's being flexible to use all the mediums. You know, I used to do videos on Facebook and things.
I remember like your video.
Yeah. I can't really remember good. When I first did that. It was an idea that I had. And then I think Christy started getting, you know, it out there and did a little thing about it through Secret Salon as well. But, you know, the reach that you get through video is just unreal. So, you know, why stick with just a CCAD or a static post?
Do you know what? You're so right. Like, that is so boring. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not 19 or 22. That is, like, the most boring thing in the world. A video, that's really engaging. I can see who you are. I can see your face. I can see the way you talk. Maybe give me a tour around the salon.
Yeah. Make the team on the video. Oh, my God, that would be way cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they already know whether they want to come work for you or with you or not. And I think Louise said, don't invite them for an interview. Invite them for a coffee and a chat, you know, like.
Yeah. A tour around the salon.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, before we talk about growing a rock star team, one thing that I always did is when I had them in for an interview, like the in-salon trial space, you know, you get into the technical skill. But I always had them in for just to come and sleep, tidy up, be a tea and tidy for the night. I would always say, come and meet the team, come and support the team, come and be around the vibe, see if you like it. We'll see if we like you, but you come and see if you're like us. But I always left the building and I'd go out for half an hour, an hour, and then I would ask the team afterwards, because when the boss is away, if cats are going to play, then that's when it will be, right, if they go and be lazy and sit out the back.
I love that, and you're also giving the team the power to be able to make that decision as well.
Yes.
You know, if they don't like them, they're going to turn around and go, oh, Larissa, don't hire that person. She was terrible while you were gone, you know, or we loved her. She was great. So
yes. No, I think inclusion for sure. Yeah.
There's also a lot of mature apprentices out there looking for work at the moment. I don't know if anyone's noticed that, but a girlfriend of mine has just got an apprenticeship. She's, how old is she, 28. And I made a comment the other day about, you know, when you're employing apprentices, don't employ them for, you know, spray and wipe and a towel. You employ them to learn a skill. Yeah. And, you know, we have such a shortage, which is, you know, it's such a shame. And people are frightened to put apprentices on these days. Get, you know, if they're passionate, especially mature age apprentices, why would they be looking at doing it as a career if they weren't passionate?
I think by that time they've already decided that I've, you know, been thinking about this for a while. I've had great success with adult apprentices.
Yeah.
You don't have to train them how to turn up on time or have a conversation with a client. All that stuff's done, right?
Yeah. I was a hairdressing apprentice at 33.
Oh, my God, you were too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can vouch for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look how you turned out, Sam. Susie says the girl she's interviewing doesn't have the experience that she wanted, but her gut told her to check her out anyway. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's cool.
Go with your gut. And, okay, here's a good question for us from Lisa. Her problem is at the moment that she's not in the salon daily. Lisa, that's because you're home with a baby, I'm assuming. That one's a challenging one, but it's definitely overcomable, and it's actually a topic I'm super passionate about, being completely in control of your business while being away. What do you two think? Any thoughts on that?
I was off and had. I'm not. I don't know Lisa's circumstances. Whether there's, you know, how many staff or et cetera, of what there are. But I went off and had my children, and still was able to keep my finger on the pulse with the business. Yeah. It's just you know, making sure that you set that time to focus on the business.
Baby free time.
Sorry,
that's what we're all baby about, free time. Right? Isn't it? Helping the salon owners be able to have the freedom that they desire in their, you know, for their life, really.
Yeah.
Systemizing, structuring, and creating your own role from without with outside the business or outside those four walls.
Yeah, and then being consistent.
Yes. Okay. So it is the systems and the structures that will it is the system, the structure and the discipline that will set you free. So it sounds counterintuitive to have structure, discipline, because then you have to show up. And I know one of the challenges, but for creatives, and we're typically creators and highly kinesthetic, we hate being structured in the hair and beauty industry, is that we have to be consistent, we need to be accountable, we need to show up consistently, and that takes discipline. We hate discipline. We want to be free and creative and go where we want, and that's the whole goal, you know, to get freedom. And I know this is our program, Freedom and Profit, to have the freedom, but you can't have freedom until you have structure and discipline to do that. And it's those systems and processes that are then measurable that you know that the stuff is being done even when you're not there.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, you've got to come back to
You know, the paper or the computer or the whatever things that actually show that things have been done, and then how can you get visibility of that off-site? That's how we run, right, guys?
Yeah.
You guys, we're on the other side of the ocean from each other, and all of us work away, but we're completely in control. We put all, bring all these details together, but it's automation, it's systemization, it's structure.
Communication.
Communication, absolutely. Yeah.
Consistency. Yeah. I was just laughing at Lisa's comment. I've been going in on Saturdays now. I think they feel like I go shopping and drink coffee all day.
Oh,
hashtag mum life.
Finally.
Like a live video of a, of life at home and you know, get them to swap it.
I think part of that's the salon owner mindset though.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the guilt. I know I went through it. Was it last year or the year before that I pulled off of my salon floor and I went through this heavily. You feel like you're being lazy because you're suddenly not in the salon all the time, putting out all the fires and doing a million things in one go. So again, systems, processes, structures.
And it's hard to switch the mindset, right? Because when you're putting out the fires and you're in the salon, when you go to a place, so you know that's when you're at work, and then you're usually on the mouse wheel, you're on the hamster wheel, right? And you're putting out the fires and you're fixing everybody and it's busy. And then you go home and you've got this quiet space to do systems and business,
yeah, like
marketing plans, and it's quiet.
Where do I start? And then you don't do it.
I just saw Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Jump on. And Sarah asked a great question. Sarah's a Hub member, and she asked a great question in the Hub the other day. So now I've created some space. What do I do first? Like, I totally get that. It's like space is, feels uncomfortable.
Where to start?
Where do you start now that I've got the space? And also, it can be this big list of things. And when the list is too big, then there's overwhelm. Then where do you start?
There's a module called Ditch the Overwhelm and Get Shit Done.
It's our favourite module, isn't it?
It is my favourite module, yeah.
Yes, all right. Yes. All right, Sarah, you need to jump on that module too, Ditch the Overwhelm and Get Shit Done. Absolutely. All right, let's quickly talk about, well, gosh, guys, we haven't even got to rolling our rocks, our team, let alone keeping them. But it's all good discussion, right? And I know it's been valuable for you guys because online, because it's topical for you at the moment, which is great. Okay, what about growing? Actually, Lou, you started talking about apprentices and, you know, growing a team from the bottom up. Let's talk about that a little bit because we've all done that, right?
Yeah. Look, I think it comes back to education. Education is so it's so important just to, you know, to keep growing, to keep at the forefront of the industry, to keep the staff excited, to keep them interested. And, you know, as I said before, don't employ just to clean up after you and to, you know, to be your lackey. Doesn't work like that anymore. You know, they have young ones have aspirations, they have dreams, desires, you know, and passion for growth and success. And they're really not going to get that if they're stuck behind cleaning up after everybody all the time.
Yeah. Ditch the spray and wipe.
Yeah. Ditch the spray and wipe. Everyone have a go of the spray and wipe. You know, I never asked my staff to do anything that I wouldn't do. You know, I would get out there with the toilet brush and the Domestos and scrub the toilet and scrub the floor and do the dishes and, you know, I would do everything that they would do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. They all had responsibilities.
Yeah. See, I did my apprenticeship at a time where the apprentices did everything and the seniors sat on their bum and smoked in the bedroom. Can you believe?
I did too, but I didn't want to be that type of person. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. So sharing responsibility, it's not just the apprentice that does, because I mean, look, cleaning's inevitable in a salon, right? It's one of those places that we make a big fat mess all the time.
Yep.
But it should be everybody's job. Again, a system. And for me, I'm a ticket ball person. Like I want accountability. I want to see that people have done stuff.
Yep.
And just because they've ticked it doesn't actually mean that they've done it to the standard. So what gets noticed gets done. If you don't notice it, that it's been done well or otherwise, no one will pay attention to it. So if you're wondering why people aren't following the systems, it's because you're not following up on your system.
Yeah. And, I was going to say one more thing. And micromanaging also, like, allow them to make mistakes. I know that sounds really bad, but they don't learn unless they make mistakes. That's how you grow. You know, it's not it's not bad to make a mistake. I mean, I'm not talking huge, big mistakes, but, you know, allow them to get out there and not hover over them and let them learn and teach and educate. You know, you can't chastise if you're the one not implementing and helping.
I was going to say I'd like to see more salon owners get out of that mindset that apprentices are not money, like they're not able to bring an income into the business.
Yep.
Because it depends how you use your apprentices within your business as to, you know, where they're at. And I know my girls were great at generating income for the business. And even if that's only assisting the seniors in particular ways, the seniors are then able to generate so much more income because they've got the support staff behind them. I know, Larissa, you've got an awesome system that we teach our VIPs if they need to, you know, to be able to grow your apprentices to become certain levels within the salon to be able to do that. So I think as soon as you can change that mindset that they're just there for, like you say, Louise, spray and wipe, cleaning up behind the seniors, it's a wonderful way to grow your team. And, you know, like I always believe in having a first year, second year, third year, one coming in behind all of the time. It's powerful. It's great for clients as well when they see you growing someone from this thing that can't even sweep a floor to suddenly they're doing gorgeous, beautiful blow waves and awesome.
I know.
It's awesome.
I just noticed Georgie. Hi, Georgie. Georgie's an old client of mine who had a beauty salon, and she's just commented. She's the girl I was talking about who's now a mature aged apprentice, and I love seeing her photos of blow drying and all the things that she's learning. So it's awesome.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, it gives people a career path and they can see that they're progressing and that they've got someone to follow up ahead of them. You can do that sort of mini mentoring, you know, when the slightly older one looks after the one below, it takes the pressure off you being the only trainer. Yeah, I have to say that one of the reasons I could grow a team to 30 and maintain that was because we had a really intensive established apprenticeship growth program, so much that we called it an academy. And we had 7 apprentices at any given time at the different levels. Plus we had some after school girls that would come and actually do the tea and tidy, we called up, you know, tidy and make the cups of tea and all the things that needed to be done in the late nights and things. But it was a great little environment to be able to nurture people. But we couldn't have maintained a team that size without that program to, as we call it, feed in underneath. And by the time that they actually needed to make any impact on the client, they were well used to talking and touching and doing touching the clients and doing the skills that, you know, they weren't kept handed. And so we could actually grow them faster, I guess.
Makes me proud watching them do that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's nothing prouder than that. And even when people eventually leave and then they go and open their own salon, I mean, that's difficult too, right?
I just think I think this is the way that, I mean, we have such a shortage, and I think this is the way that we are going to, our industry is needs to progress to flourish again, because it's, you know, we had such a non-existent time where we had them coming through. And we're, you know, we said 10 years ago, I don't know if you remember, Larissa, conversations of, you know, we are going to feel it down the track, because, you know, we do have such a shortage of people coming through in our industry, and now we're starting to feel it. So I really think in order to kickstart our industry and to fire it up and keep it moving for down the track, that we need to really do something about apprentices.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's the only way that we're going to get out of the sort of loop of not having enough enough people to employ. What I used to call fresh off the boat, you know. Imports, actually, we called them imports. Like, you know, your own imports.
Yeah, it's so sad that we, oh, sorry, Sam, go.
No, sorry, darling, I didn't mean to. I was just going to say, like with Libby being in here as well, like it, this is very relevant to the beauty industry as well. Like, absolutely. It's not just the hair, the hairdressing side that's experiencing a shortage right now. It's definitely with the beauty industry too. Sorry.
I actually think that partly it's kind of it's a problem of small business in a way, because small business is small. We it's self-perpetuating. So we grow up, we do our qualification, and we get to the top of the ladder, so to speak, and there's nowhere else to go other than go and open our own business. And so what happens is we're having a lot of small business, lots of small businesses, but they're not growing to be a reasonable size to grow the people underneath to become managers and to learn that next level. There's no career path, and we're not creating career paths for people. And we're showing them that as soon as you're qualified, the only other next step up is to go and work for yourself.
And
at the moment, working for yourself means that you can just work yourself. You can rent a chair, you can rent a booth, you can rent a hotel and promote on Instagram that you're taking appointments, and you can travel around the world doing that.
Yeah, we've got the we've got those studios. You know what I'm talking about. I can't
remember what's it called.
Are they studios?
Suites.
You know, and we've got so many fast trackers coming through. These guys are passionate, but once they finish, there's no career opportunity because they're not skilled. So we, you know.
Well, we're not creating the opportunities to skill them. One of the things, and I guess it's a luxury as your team grows, you have the luxury of doing this. But, and it was a concept that I learned. Actually, I went to UCLA and they were talking about growing mini, I guess this is my interpretation. I'm sure they had a much fancier word, but basically giving people mini management roles. And so we had a pod or a pool of mini management roles, so we could give people a career path. So you could be a head apprentice. So that's an easy one. You might be in charge of, I'm just trying to think. So we had a wedding coordinator. We did wedding here. We had somebody that did, coordinated the weddings and the makeup and the, did the consultation. So you could be a wedding coordinator. You could be in charge of the competition committee. You could be in charge of the lunch committee, if that was a thing. I don't know.
Tracy Hughes does that. This creates opportunities within, well, not so much now, but when she had her salons, created opportunities within her business for growth for everybody.
Give them titles, like make them important, give them a status and give them a job title, and then they'll stay because they can see, and then I can be a senior stylist, and then I can be an executive stylist, and then I can be a artistic
operations or
whatever. Right. And then they'll stay. Giving a reason to stay.
Absolutely.
Bianca says, I'm sick of working so many hours. Totally get it. Totally get it. I hope you've got a team that can support you. And so you don't have to work so much. create a little bit of freedom. All right, well, look, we've had a particularly long lunch. We haven't really talked about, we started talking about keeping them, I guess, rewarding them and giving them a career path, right? Setting clear expectations. What I wanted to do, because Libby, thank you for mentioning it, is that I'm going to put a post in the comments here if you want to register to be reminded when we go live for our lunch events. I'll put the link in so you can click on it and we'll send you out a message when we go live so you don't miss it, because poor Libby was feeling sad that she came halfway through. So please click on the link. I'll just pop it in there now and come and register for our next lunch. Where we are going to be talking about actually how lonely it is at the top, and what it's like to be a business owner, what that means for us, because sometimes, you know, our family or our friends don't always understand what it's like to be at the top, and you can't always connect with your team on that because you're the one that's supposed to be leading. So we want to talk a little bit about that at our next lunch, so would love you to join us. So I'll put the link in the comments. And Libby says she thinks it's baby brain. You're allowed to have baby brain, Libby. You've got a baby brain. We'll remind you. Leave it up to us. All right. Well, look, I think this has been a great discussion. I would love to go for longer, but I know what it's like in a salon. You need to get back to your clients. Lunches are short and sweet when you're a business owner, right?
Yeah.
thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining me, Sam and Louise, for our non-lunch. if you want to reach out to Sam or Louise and you want some support, like working too many hours or getting your team on board to support you, then I'm going to put a link to have a chat with them in the comments below, or come and join us and learn more about the Freedom and Profit Formula in the Salon Owners Collective Hub. I'll also put the link below. So thank you. Please let us know that you've been here, and if you're here and you've made it to the end on the replay, please type hashtag replay. We'd love to know that you've been hanging out with us, and please make sure you join up for the next one. See you at our next lunch.
It was great. See you guys.
Bye.
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 Hey, so I hope that episode of the Collective Lunch on Growing a Rockstar Team has inspired you and there were some good takeaways for you. Please come and message me. I'd love to hear what it was the biggest standout for you listening to that chat. So as I mentioned, I have a free resource for you that I want to share with you, how to attract a rockstar team. Because what is the number one reason you're not growing your team as fast as you'd like? Often it starts at the beginning, and that's that your ads fail to attract the right people into your salon, or anyone in that fact. So finding a new therapist and stylist doesn't have to feel like searching for hen's teeth. Never wonder where your next staff member is coming from. Again, in this free guide, I'll reveal three simple steps to attract the right team and fast track growth in your salon. I shall put the link to this resource in the show notes of this page. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective. I shall see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.